me even asking. He just comes because I'm so filled with him, and that's the truth. And when I'm not filled with him, I go find him, and he fills me again. So I am in a constant state of being filled. Anyway, I was at the dollar store on Monday, and this was in the middle of a whole bunch of packaging materials. So I said, oh, hope. I have a hope rock that I bought about a year and a half ago that sits on my table in my living room. So I brought that in too, because I want you to know that I look at this, I don't know how many times a day. We need to fill ourselves with what God is saying. Then I went on Friday to spend the day with Sarah, because I really don't get to see her alone very much. So I said, oh, I'm going to come and spend the day with you, which is always a blessing for me. So she has on her, in her living room, this huge wall thing that was built by a guy that was in their church. And Sean is an avid reader, so that's what he wanted. They were going to put it in the bedroom. Sarah said, I don't want a bunch of old, dusty old books in my room. So it's in the living room, and it takes up the entire wall. The whole wall is books, and he's in glory. And then the TV is in the middle, and they have all the... So the gentleman that was building it just finished it a couple weeks ago. So she comes over. Oh, and I'm looking, because she's got scriptures all over her apartment, all different places, positive sayings, same thing as me. And I smile every time, because I go and read them all, and I get encouraged. I say, oh, you're your mother's daughter, and she laughs. But... she goes over, and there's these four coffee, whatever you call those things. I want to say trivet, but it's not a trivet. A place thing. You put your coffee coaster. Sounds like. Let's play. Anyway. Oh, I bought these. A friend of mine her son has autism, and she was selling these to raise money for his training. So she was like, I paid $20 for it, you know. So she goes through, and the first one is love, and the second one is hope. So I said, oh, hope. That's what I'm preaching about on Sunday. She says, well, take it, Mom. So I have another hope. Now I have another hope. So I can set up hope, hope, hope. So guess what the message is about? It is indeed about hope. Hope! Oh, it's up there. I'm so encouraged. You know, I get to see my friend Pat every week, and it's such a blessing to see her. Because she's in revival all the time. So, and so am I. So there's a meeting of our spirits when we see each other. And there's a gentleman that plays drums for them also, who is in revival right now. Stephen is in revival. And so is Jonathan. And I also want to say, doesn't mean that the rest of you are not, I have just noticed an increase in the anointing on these gentlemen. But this gentleman last week, we were talking about worship and praise, and he was just so excited to talk about worship and praise and the difference in this. I mean, he was just, so when I saw him today, oh, Pastor Marie, how are you? Just grabbed a hold of me and hugged me. That's a beautiful, beautiful witness between two saints that God is in us, that we're both excited about worship and praise. So I love that. I just love that. Anyway, so we have hope. There was a number of scriptures that the Lord gave me that connected hope to my spirit and lifted it up and made it more alive than it already was. And the main one was Romans 15:13, which says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So in believing is a place. You hear that? In believing that you may abound in hope. So now the God of hope, filling you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope, which means flowing, overflowing, cascading, effervescent, effulgence. I love that word. I learned that word about a month ago. By the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. It's not something you produce. It's something that the Holy Spirit does in you. So I can tell you at any given moment, if I start feeling myself down, I can move and turn, and that river starts flowing. And I wasn't always that way. There were times that I was depressed for weeks or months or even years, maybe, way, way back when, and in fear. But those things, they're not there anymore. Even life things, I just pray, and God comes immediately. So I just want you to know that there's a place to get. And then I have more. I'm going to get more. So keep moving, keep progressing, because now the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace in believing. In believing that you may abound in hope through the Holy Spirit. So you know that is a scripture that I meditated on all week. And then God began to expound other ones. Another one he said was the God of all hope and the Father of all mercy. And then I was trying to find that I couldn't find it, because it doesn't say the God of all hope. It says the God of all comfort. Which sometimes hope brings us comfort. Because when we're in a hopeless place, or feeling hopeless, or looking at a situation that appears hopeless, we need the God of comfort to come. So that was another thing. We have a living hope. That was the other thing the Lord gave me. I had to look for that. I knew it was in Peter, but it's 1 Peter 1:3. Praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, of course, Jesus is the one that brings the hope. We are celebrating Advent. We are celebrating Advent, which means coming and arrival. And so what we are celebrating is Jesus coming into the world. And we are celebrating Jesus coming into our hearts. I believe that I was saved a long, long, long time ago, raised in a church that really didn't believe in the full gospel. But I always had tremendous faith in God. When I met him at the beach, literally surrendered and fell on my face and said, okay, whatever you want, I'll do it. There was a number of things that he brought to my remembrance over the couple of weeks before that event happened. But they weren't outside of the box things. They were Christian things. But he was showing me, the Spirit of Truth was showing me that I wasn't really a Christian, because I wasn't really following Jesus. I was following my own way and tagging him on the end. So we know a lot of people like that, right? We don't want to be taggers. We want to be right in the flow. So I've continued to go through this whole week praying and trusting God for the message that he wanted to give me for you to hear. And last night I went on my email and I am getting the Passion Translation, like a message once a week, Brian Simmons from Connecticut, which I happen to love the translation. Anyway, and of course, he has a whole celebration of Advent. So this is the first week, it's hope. So he quotes one of the scriptures that was in my heart too, which is in Romans 5:5. Hope is not a disappointing fantasy. Because we can now experience the endless love of God. That is what brings us hope. The endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Absolute truth. Absolute truth. Hope is a rock solid expectation. I'm going to say that probably 10 times during this message. Hope is a rock solid expectation. That's what scriptural hope is. It's not the hope, 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 hope of what the world may or may not have to offer us. It's a rock solid expectation. That is right from Pastor Roy's mouth. It's a rock solid expectation that God will intervene with power. Amen. on our behalf. That's who he is. He's going to intervene in your situation. We don't always know how, but we know he's going to be there, and he's going to help you and give you whatever you need to overcome. Our hope comes from the resurrection, and again, the Lord has been speaking to me for a few years about his ascension, that we have to ascend as sons and daughters of the living God. It's not just the resurrection, it's the ascension of Jesus Christ. God's love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:27, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery to the Gentiles, which is us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It was once hidden and it has been revealed. So we need to walk and understand that that mystery has been revealed in us. It's no longer a mystery. It's a powerful truth that we can hold on to when, no matter how we feel, no matter what set of circumstances we find ourselves in, that Christ is within and he's the hope of glory. So how do we sustain this hope? Oh no. No. Oh no, my neighbor is playing that guitar again. Now, how is that hope? Oh, I'm only kidding. He doesn't even have a guitar. How is this hope sustained? By trusting in the right thing or the right person, which is the Lord. Not trusting in men, not some trust in chariots. We don't trust in horsemen, you know, all through the scriptures. We don't trust in any of these things. We don't trust in our provision. We don't trust in our husband's or wife's job. We don't trust in, some inheritance that may come or not. We don't trust in those things. When God gives you a job, man or woman of the Lord, that is his provision for you. And he supplies whatever you need to do that job. And he may change that job sometime along the road. That's okay. He makes provision. Hope is a rock solid expectation that God will intervene on our behalf. So we have to acknowledge God and acknowledge his presence. Here we go. Romans 15, 12 to 13. I thought this was interesting. I was reading this morning and realized that before, and now I have it in my message, so I already knew it. But before, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Says, and again, Isaiah said, which is Isaiah 11. Again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, who's Jesus. And even he who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. So we have a hope. And then it says, may the God of hope fill you. So in this particular group of scriptures, and even in that one verse, the God of hope, the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus being the root and the offspring of David, Jesus. So in those two verses, there's the whole entire Trinity spoken of. People say, oh, I don't believe in the Trinity. Well, it's right there. It's in the scripture. And when we are filled with God's love and joy and peace, there is a foundation or a platform that results in us abounding in hope. Titus 3:4-7. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, it's the love of God that brings us hope, isn't it? He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So in every given moment, there's a renewal by the Holy Spirit that you can tap into. We don't have to fear death because death is just another step into the eternity that we already have. It doesn't matter because it's part of the process. We're moving towards it. And it's wonderful and glorious. I can't wait to get to heaven and see Jesus. Face to face. Can't wait. Whom, now in this verse it says, whom he poured out upon us richly. Who's that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So through Jesus we receive the Holy Spirit. so that being justified by his grace, we will be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God is working in us and for us. Hope is a rock-solid expectation that God will intervene with power on our behalf. He's working in us to make us new creations. Hope looks at the ultimate. Hope doesn't look at what's going on right here. Hope looks at the ultimate. What is at the end of a process? The final conclusion, the best achievable or imaginable result, or fundamental fact or principle. Some see a hopeless end, but others see an endless hope. So we want to see an endless hope, don't we? We're connected eternally to the endless hope, the endless hope. Hope has the power to sustain us, while lack of hope leads to some sort of death. Yes? We need hope. I see this so clearly. God has really been speaking and making things very clear to me about the body of sin and the new creation. Even if we have thoughts and we're fiddling around with the old nature, you're agreeing with death. And in some places, with sin, in some places, sickness, in agreement with that negativity that comes from your old man. Your old man is a liar, connected with the devil. Your new man is filled with the spirit of life and truth and is in agreement with the Holy Spirit. You choose where you're going to flow. You can seriously flow here. I've been learning about negative vows and negative agreement. There was a woman, I'll give you an example, which was really kind of awesome. There was an older woman, came to church week after week with her husband that loved the Lord, whatever, and the pastor that was ministering looked out and he heard the Holy Spirit say suicide. He was like, oh, she's like in her 80s. Why would she even think of that? So he goes over to minister to her after the service and he says, have you been contemplating suicide? She starts crying. How did you know that? Well, because the Holy Spirit was moving in him and told him and he wanted her set free. That's why you see and hear things about people, not so that you can gossip and talk about them, but you can pray and go and take care of it. So she said, yeah. So he's looking at her, listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit showed him that she had made an agreement with the spirit of death, the spirit of suicide. And it was a very innocent thing. Something very tragic happened. And instead of her trusting God in it, she said, oh, I wish I was dead. That's all she said. How many of us have... That was making a negative covenant with the enemy. And I have to tell you, when I was reading this and studying this, I broke everything off me. So I would suggest very strongly that you do that as well. When God, now you have this truth, when God brings the truth to your spirit, then you're able to move on it. I didn't have too much because I do work every day to keep myself in a place of hope and rest and peace. But there were a few things there. So what brings hope and life is a positive covenant that we make with God, the positive vows that we make with God. And what brings death and sin and sickness, it's very clear, is a negative vow with death, sin, and sickness. Scripturally, hope is a rock-solid expectation that God will intervene with power on our behalf. I got a diagnosis about my eyes, and I listened to her, and I went through everything, and I have drops. I put drops in my eyes, but I don't think about, and I actually broke a covenant and a vow with that diagnosis and said, I'm going to receive the diagnosis of Jesus Christ, that not only the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened, but that these eyes will be able to move and grow and do and stay the way they are or improve. So when you hear a doctor report, you don't just accept it and say, oh, that's no. You bring it before the Father and you ask him, what are you saying about this? What is it that I can pray and stand on? What promise to break this? particular thing to make it palatable for my life. Our outward man is perishing day by day, and the inward man is being renewed. Our bodies are aging, but they don't have to age to the point where you're crippled. I was thinking about John Kreuzberg this morning when I was in prayer, and thinking about what an amazing testimony of faith that he has walked in, not only with his back, but trusting God, and Lori as well, standing with him. And so many times we sat and said, oh my God, why is this happening? I don't know. But we kept praying, and he kept praying. And every time I said something to John, he said, the fact that I don't have a job is not going to run me. Are you listening? And now he has an amazing job, and he's doing really well. And God did a work in him. I know he did. See, God is more interested in your character being formed than bringing the answer to your prayer. I'm going to go into Romans 5, which I happen to love. Hopelessness is a curse, isn't it? Hopelessness is a curse. It's the curse of trusting in man, in anything other than God, or anything. Trusting in man or anything other than God and his perfect wisdom and timing. Despair looks at immediate realities. Hope believes that God is not done. Sometimes we're in the middle of the river and we're crossing and the wagon is going under and the wheels are breaking and the horse is drowning. But you got to stay in the wagon and make it to the other side and repair the wheel and feed the horse. Jesus again wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to see who he is. That's why you go through trials. When the disciples were in the storm, I wasn't going to share this, but I will. When the disciples were in the storm, they were like, ah! And Jesus sent them on the boat, didn't he? And he went up to a mountain to pray. So he could have done anything, but he did not come right away. And the wind and the waves were tossing, and they were in the middle of this storm, and they were like, what's going on? Oh, and you know, they could have been repenting or confessing, because that's what I do. The minute something happens, I start, oh no, what did I do? And you start praying through things. Am I clean before you, Lord? Did I make a mistake? Whatever. But you know, that's not always the case. Sometimes God is testing your faith. And that's what he was doing, because the disciples, they were like nervous and frightened. And then they saw him walking on the water and they thought it was a ghost. But Jesus wanted to show him that he is in the storm. Also, he is also in the storm. So whatever kind of thing you're going through, he's there, right? So you have to look for him. Where are you, Lord? Right here. God is not done with you, and we are going to die and go to heaven, and that is going to be the eternal reward that's going to continue for us. We're going to just step into the next realm. It does not have to be a big, sad, horrible thing. It's an amazing thing for that person who dies as a believer. Maybe not for us, but we're going to miss that soul that may be graduating. I want to talk a little bit about hope deferred. Proverbs 13:12. When I first started memorizing this verse and looking at it, I was very focused on hope deferred. Hope deferred. Oh, no, I don't want that. Hope deferred. Hope delayed. Oh, and that's exactly what I did. No. But what the scripture says, see, you got to dig a little deeper and find out what the word is really saying. Hope deferred or delayed makes the heart sick or ill. But a longing or a desire or a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. So after about a month of asking God about this, it was years ago, he started to say, oh, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. But when the desire comes, the tree of life. And sometimes you're over here and you want this to happen, and you're negating all of this that has to happen in between the beginning of the expectation, which is hope, right? And the end result, which again has to do with us looking in the right direction when we're going through things. I learned very early in my walk, because I was gloriously saved and changed, and I cried and thanked God every time I went through a trial, because I knew, and people did not understand why I was doing that, but I saw God bringing his character into my being and changing my heart. And my heart was deceitfully wicked above all things. I still struggle with that old man, but I won't give him place. Hope believes. Hope believes that God is not done. The tree of life is the place where the reality of the spiritual realm being accessible in everyday decisions and living is functioning. Rudy prayed that this morning about our identification with the tree of life. We have choices. You want to identify with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? No. You want to identify? See, over here is where the hope is deferred. Over here is where the desire comes, and it's a tree of life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there were two trees in the garden, yes? It's the place where we depend on ourselves or others or circumstances to produce the outcome. I had the blessing of starting the Advent teaching with my grandchildren on Friday, because it was the first day they were going to start. And I was able to share about the creation. And right when I finished the whole portion I was supposed to read, I said there were two trees in the garden. And then I stopped because I realized, oh, I turned the page. Oh, that's tomorrow's lesson. But here it was again, the message that God was speaking to me was in that scripture and what I was able to share with them. It was a beautiful time. So let's reread Romans 15:13 in the Amplified Version. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith. Through the experience of God's character being molded into you, the experience of your faith is God's character being molded into you, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the things that are not seen are the things that we see in the spirit realm with the eyes of our understanding. Romans 5, 1 and 2, since then it is by faith that we are justified, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have confidently entered into this new relationship of grace, and here we take our stand in happy certainty of the glorious things he has for us in the future. This doesn't mean, of course, that we have only a hope of future joys. We can be full of joy now and here, even in our trials and our troubles. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us patience and endurance. This, in turn, will develop a mature character. And a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. Already, we have some experience. Or maturing of the love of God flooding through our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Here it is, another version. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt, which means exalt, means overwhelmed with tremendous joy and hope. And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations. Really? Yes. Or sufferings. Tribulation also means sufferings. Knowing that tribulation, suffering, produces perseverance, patience, endurance. We love these words, don't we? And perseverance produces, perseverance being patience and endurance, proven character. Oh! Proven character. Experience in Jesus. And proven character, experience, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the love of God, it is the love of God poured into our hearts that brings, he is the source of hope. And I love the verse after, for while we were still helpless, are we helpless? Yes, we are. In the natural, we are. While we were still helpless, filled with the glory of God in the spirit realm, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? Christ died for me when I was a wretched sinner, even before I was born. The eternal purposes of the living Christ for me came into being, the reality of me connecting with him in 1978. The reality of me stepping into my eternal life and believing and crying out and saying, no more, I can't do this in myself anymore, happened on that day, August 1st, 1978. And since then, now next year is 40 years, I have walked in process and I'm still walking in process through tribulations, through trials, through glorious, all-conquering victory, because I have learned through all of those experiences that I have gone through already, I have come to a place to know that he is a living hope and that he always comes through and I can trust him. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion, Stephen. Psalm 71:1, let me never be ashamed or put to confusion. In thee, O Lord, do I hope. Many lose hope during tribulation, but God intends for tribulation to produce hope through faith. The goal of everything, including suffering, is hope. So how does God move in us and give us an opportunity to grow in hope during tribulation? He pours his heart of love into us through the Holy Spirit. I'll give you an example. Jeremiah chose to believe God in spite of the horrible circumstances that he found himself in, which seemed to be contrary to his God's promises. He looked around. What? After Nebuchadnezzar's army destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and slaughtered many Israelites, Jeremiah grieved and lamented. He grieved and lamented. He jumped up and down and shouted, whoopee! No, he did not. He grieved and he lamented. And we do have times of grief and lamenting and suffering. Then, just like Psalm 18, all these things are happening, but then God got mad and came down. Then he directed his thoughts towards God. Then he directed his thoughts. He stopped looking at the circumstances, even though they were terrible. He directed his thoughts toward God. Lamentations 3, 21 to 24. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness, says, indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Our hope is in the living God. How can we lose? We can't. Hebrews 6:19. This certain hope. I love this. This certain hope. What kind of hope? Certain. This certain, sure, steadfast, absolute hope of being saved. It's a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. So, I mean, I always see the anchor. I'm in the boat. I am the boat. The anchor is the bottom of the sea holding me. He's the anchor of my soul. Connecting us with God, we just have this anchor and we just hang out. No, the anchor connects us with God. Himself. He anchors us with himself behind the sacred curtains of heaven. The veil has been rent. The curtain of heaven has been thrown back. And Jesus said, come up here. He told John the Revelator, come up here. We can walk through that curtain, walk through that veil. That veil has been rent. When Jesus died, the veil in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. No man could reach it. See, when you see that God has done these things and you begin to realize what he's done in the past, and these things were written for our hope, then you can trust that he's going to do it for you. Why would he not do it for you? Why would he not do it for you? He will. Romans 15:4. These things that were written in the scripture so long ago are to teach us patience, endurance, to encourage us, so that we will look forward expectantly with hope to the time when God will conquer sin and death. God is not done. When I was at Sarah's on Friday, I was holding the baby and Shiloh was jumping up and down on my lap. And Sarah went in the other room, Hunter, and Sawyer were there also because Chris and Ariel were going out for the night. So they babysit for each other, which I think is amazing. Of course, if Ariel has the babies of all of them, I have to come because she can't watch eight kids, which is fine. Anyway, too many babies. Something happened in the other room. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. Something happened with Hunter and Luke. I don't know what happened. And then I hear Sarah, you're a child of God. You're amazing. And she starts to speak over Luke and Hunter. You have a destiny and a plan and a hope. She's so I'm sitting there. I started crying. I was like, yes! Because that kid now, whatever happened, I don't know what happened. But he's got that in his head. He's got that moving in his spirit. So, God was not done. God is not done with you. He's not done with me. He's not done with this church. He's not done with my future or your future or Pastor Roy's future. And he's not done with my grandchildren or my children. I have an opportunity to speak into their lives the truths of the kingdom. And what a legacy. So God is not done. So if you see something that's not lined up with the word, you need to say, Lord, what can I do? What can I pray? How can I move? Give me a promise. Give me a word. Get in the secret place and find out what God has to say about it. And then you start to move in that. God was not done when Noah built an ark. When Sarah was barren, when Joseph was in prison, when Moses was on the run from Pharaoh after murdering somebody, when the children of Israel were pinned against the Red Sea, when the walls of Jericho blocked possession of the promised land, when Gideon was hiding from the Midianites, when Samson was seduced by a woman and blinded, when Ruth was widowed, when David was mocked as a boy facing a giant, when Job's children were all killed, when government officials persecuted Daniel, when Jonah was in the belly of a whale, when Paul couldn't get rid of his thorn, and Jesus was put in the grave. God was not done. God brought deliverance and healing and an answer, and the reality of his presence to every one of those situations. That's why we have the scriptures to read and be encouraged by. If you go and you read Romans 15, I read that this morning, a little further up, it says that not only does it say that now the God of hope, a little further up it says the God of encouragement and perseverance. So see, that says to me he's the one that's doing it, not me anyway. Hope is not undone because he is not done. We have hope for the future. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have in mind for you, says Adonai, plans for peace and well-being, plans for good and not for evil, not for bad things, not for disaster, so that you can have a hope and a future and an expected end. So we can speak that over our lives when things might look a little bleak. Wait a minute. Oh, I have a hope and a future. I can begin to move in that channel. See, there's channels. Sometimes you need to change the channel on the radio. Oh, no. No. I have a hope and a future. I have a hope and a future. I have a hope and a future. You have a hope and a future. Without hope for the future, there isn't any power for the present. Without a hope for the future, there's no power for the present. Because you have nothing to look forward to, right? Last time I spoke was of falling forward. You want to fall forward. You may not know what the future is going to look like, but I can guarantee you that God is going to bring deliverance and healing. I am reminded when my son Aaron was at Wheaton and we made application for him for the scholarship, and at Wheaton half of the cost was paid for, plus he got scholarships. It was a little more difficult for him because he was by himself. He ended up alone there. The other kids were there together, so there was more of a discount. But this one particular year I got denied, and I was like, what are you talking about? They were charging me like, I don't know, $11,000-$12,000. I said, what? So I call up the woman and I'm on the phone with her. But see, I didn't fret. I just said, Lord, something's going on here, and I know you want him there, and I know that you opened that door. So what's going on? Are you switching streams? Are you switching a horse? Are you going to, you know? He was ready to go to another school. He didn't have any problem. He was ready. But I wasn't willing for my son to go to a secular school. So I called up the woman, and we talked. I don't know how long. And then she goes down and she says, well, you came into all this money. I said, I did not. I said, what are you talking about? I don't have all this money. She says, well, yeah, you refinanced your house and you came into all this money. So I started laughing. I said, I didn't come all into all that money. I came into all that debt. That's not money. That's debt. So she switched the entire thing. Turned it all around again, and he got his money. But see, if I had stopped and went, oh, no, you can't do that, ladies and gentlemen. You got to ask God, what are you doing? So, continuing to ask the questions and go send the email and ask God, what are you doing and how are you doing and what can I do? He made provision for my son, and he was able to graduate from there. Hope is the rock-solid certainty that God will intervene with power on our behalf. He is, after all, God. And I do want us to share. We've been praying for Elaine. I want you to know she got a line this month. So that's a wonderful thing. So she's in Beijing right now, making up her hours. I think she has one other trip, and anyway, so we're still praying for her because she may have to work through the winter, which she applied to not work through the winter so she wouldn't be called in the middle of a snowstorm. Anyway, so we're still praying for that, but God made a way for her. She's already set up and moving on, and Bash is very comfortable with us and also with the babysitter, so that's a wonderful thing. She's very happy young lady and loves him, so it's good. So they have him for 3 days a week, and then we have them on him on Thursday if she has to work. So anyway, also there was something else I was going to say. Aaron is working at the coffee shop in LA, which he hates, but he's doing it, and it's his test of endurance and patience and character being formed, but he has had three movie scores that he has played on this past week for Fox. Two for Fox and one for somebody else, and then he did this other. You know, so he's actually working two full-time jobs. Mariko is working two full-time jobs. So, you know, he goes and works in the coffee shop, and then he comes home and he works all night writing the music. But see, he has put the work in. So he has to believe that the doors are going to open for him because he's a skilled musician. See, if he wasn't and he hadn't done those things, those preparations, and it's the same thing we can apply to our own lives, that we can have a reward at the end of our journey because we have applied the reality of the living, breathing Word of God, and we can walk in that. We can walk in that reality because we have done the preparation, we have sowed the seeds, and he's an incorruptible seed, Jesus himself. He's an incorruptible seed. There's no corruption in Jesus. And if you truly acknowledge that he's in you, then there's no corruption in you either. You're a new creation, filled with the glory of God. Oh, what's that? Oh, it's a song. God is faithful. So, now, God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. No. You may abound in hope. You may abound in hope. You may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you acknowledge that Holy Spirit is there with you all the time, you can't lose. You have God right alongside of you. You have God inside of you. And even though you may be afraid of something that might be working or something that happened, God is going to take that situation and show himself to be strong on your behalf. Amen. That's it. Amen. So, now the God of hope. Now the God of hope. Amen. Fill you with all the joy and peace. Father, we do thank you, and I speak this word over your people. Now, the God of hope. Now, the God of hope. Now, right now, we give you every circumstance, every situation. We thank you that you are the answer. You are the God of hope. Fill us right now with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us all abound in hope. In Jesus' name, amen.